several hearings on the base. With some of the new discussion, some of picking up on things we discussed before, when the Mishnah told us at the beginning of the Sefer that one is bringing it again from the Din Hayav.
Can I record it?
You can record it, yeah, but. Yeah, so the Mishnah told us at the beginning, in the Sefer, if one is bringing a get from Medinas Hayam, so then two Eretz Yisrael, you have to say Bafanai Neftam, in order to verify the fact that the get was written Lishma, signed Lishma, or that the witnesses who signed the get are kosher witnesses, whether it's to serve as a kind of cube hashtar, or to verify the fact that the star was written Lishma, something we've discussed at length, occupied many documents at the beginning of the Sefer. But here, the Gemara picks up on that part of the mission that defined the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Again, this is only if one brings a get from Chutz La'aretz or from Medinas Hayam to Eretz Yisrael. If it's traveling within Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say Befanei Nechtam when delivering the get. Or if it's delivered in Chutz La'aretz, Befanei Nechtam, you know, from Medina to Medina, Chutz La'aretz we discussed, but if it's in one city in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to say Befanei Nechtam. So the borders of Eretz Yisrael are critical in terms of this discussion, and the Mishnah gives us some cryptic boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara is going to expand upon that. So the Gemara picks up over here three lines from the bottom of Zion of Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Me'rekem LeMizrach. The borders of Eretz Yisrael are Me'rekem, from Rekem and to the east. LeMeimra, and you know the Mishnah there also mentions Akko to the north. So the Gemara picks up LeMeimra, the Akko that's friendly to Eretz Yisrael. If Akko is the border of Eretz Yisrael to the north, it sounds like Eretz Yisrael. Akko is in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Remember the Akul, it's funny there to say Kaim Raminu, but we have a Kasha. Hai Mahalik Ma Akul Lich Ziv, the Brisa that says a person is walking from Akul to Kziv, Miyamino, he's walking north from Akul to Kziv, which implies that Kziv is more north than Akul. Miyamino, the Mizrach, Haderach, Temea, Mishum Eretz HaAmim. From on the right side to the, again, if he's walking north, so his right side is to the east, so his right side to the east is Chotlaritz. There are two nafkaminas, the fact that it's Chutz La'aretz. One, number one, it's Tumei Mishum Eretz HaAmim. We're going to discuss that on Chesem and Beis at length, that there's a tuma in Chutz La'aretz, not the kind of tuma that people, you know, Mashgiach will talk about today, but a real tuma that Kohan might have to be careful about, and we're going to discuss that later on. So there's a tuma of Eretz HaAmim, Uptur Min HaMaiser, and it's part from Maiser because Umin HaShvius, because it's not considered to be Eretz Yisrael. Adji Yedeo Kashi Chayeves. Unless you have some sort of reason to know that it would be chayv. Mismoiloi, to the left, lamarav, all the way until to the left and all the way to the west, haderach tahira. So it sounds like Akko and, you know, it goes all the way up north to Chaziv, and that's on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. So to the east, further is Chutz La'aretz, to the left, which is to the west, would be Eretz Yisrael. Haderach tahira, mishum Eretz HaAmim, chayv is b'maisa, b'shvias. To the left, it's Tahar because it's Eretz Yisrael. There is no Tumah Eretz HaAmim, Mishum Eretz HaAmim, but Chayeves, the Ma'aser B'Shvias. And it would be Chayeves, Ma'aser B'Shvias, because it's considered to be Eretz Yisrael, unless there's some sort of reason to assume that it's Potter. Ad Heichan, Ad Kiziv. So where does this go? All the way until Kiziv. So it sounds like Kiziv is more north than Akko. So how can the Mishnah say that the northern border of Eretz Yisrael is Akko? Chaziv is more north. Okay, another town that's further north. Either way, Akko is not at the north. So Amar Abai Ritzu and Afka. Abai said, no, Li'olam, Akko is at the top of Eretz Yisrael. But there is a path that goes even further north to Chaziv. So right, Akko is the northern border, but there is one little blip, right, on the radar. There's one little Ritzua, there's one little piece that continues, a strip that continues further. And that's Rashi gives you a little picture over here. Even though it's faced, it should be turned. North would be, we usually have north up, right, and west east to the side. Rashi has a kind of sideways picture of this description. So Gemara is bothered with this, though, that why would the Tana, Nebar Aminu, and Nebar Isaac, Gemara cited, go to great lengths to mention this little strip? If it's just a strip, why are we bothering with it? But you have Tana Simana, Hachi. So, I mean, with the Tana and Avraham, and the Brisa cited by the, you know, by the Gemara here, would we waste our time discussing a strip? Tosfos understands the kasha somewhat differently, that it's not, would we waste our time discussing it? Of course we waste our time. Who cares? It's a little detail, but it has to do with Kedushas HaAretz. So what? Details are important. The devil's in the details. right? That's you know a critical nakuda. So Taisus claims that's not what the Gemara here was bothered by. Taisus to Ramaz will be a hepsimana. But the Gemara was bothered by is how can you call something to the west or to the east of something when that subject that you're describing, the west and east of the item itself, is only a strip. Meaning if it's not Eretz Yisrael proper, we wouldn't have said to the east and to the west of this parcel of land because it's not Eretz Yisrael proper. It's just this little kind of strip that's a yoytzim and a kal, yoytzim and a kal. So the Gemara here is bothered with, you know, with according to Taisus, is not would we take the time to discuss the particulars, the nitty gritty of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it's would we describe it in this way? Okay, either way, that's the way the Kash is understood by Rashi. And Taisus, we have Tana Simana Hachi. The Gemara says, yes, in Kranami, have Simana Desiv. Yes, it's true. Either according to Rashi, the Gemara would get involved, you know, in the nitty gritty details of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. According to Taisus, yes, the Gemara or the Tana would describe to the east and to the west. Even if it's not Eretz Yisrael proper, even if it's just this little strip, and the Gemara cites a pasuk from Sefer Shoftim where the Navi goes to great lengths to describe the borders of Eretz Yisrael, even mentioning a little strip that goes from Beis El to Shechem, and describing the west and east of it as the west and the east of this little strip, of this little Ritzua HaYotzis. The Gemara says, yes, it is true. We would go to the great lengths, and we would describe it in this way. Okay, then the Gemara picks up after the pasuk Tana Chada, quotes one brisa, Hamevi get besvina, can maybe bear it itself. If you bring a get from Medina Sayam, I guess, and you're delivering it on a boat that's in Eretz Yisrael, can maybe bear it itself. It's like bringing a get into Eretz Yisrael, you'd have to say before and after. But Tanya Yida, can maybe be chutzlaretz. Another Tana says, no, it's like bringing the get or delivering the get in chutzlaretz. Amar b'yirmiya loy kasha. So I think the assumption here is that the body of water is in Eretz Yisrael. The boat is on top of the body of water. So Shaila is the boat like on a different planet? Or is that to be like, you know, considered to be like the ground that's below? The ground that's below is Eretz Yisrael. It's within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not on the ground. It's on a boat, top of the ground. So Tana Chada, maybe get Besvini, maybe Eretz Yisrael. Tana Yidach can maybe Bechutzaretz. One considers it, one Tana considers it to be bringing Eretz Yisrael. The other, like you bringing Chutzaretz. Amr Rabbi Yirmiya, Leikash, it's not a contradiction. Har Rabbi Yehuda v'har Rabbanon. In fact, it's a machlekes hatanoim. This non. Afa chutzlaretz habav esvina la'eretz. Let's say you have, it's on a boat. You have a tray of dirt. So afa, and that tray of dirt is from chutzlaretz. So afa chutzlaretz habav esvina la'eretz. It's coming on a boat to Eretz Yisrael, and it's within the borders of Eretz Yisrael now. But the produce that's growing in this tray of dirt, or pot of dirt, is growing effectively in Eretz Yisrael, but not growing in the ground. It's growing in this pot that's in the boat. So, Avra Chutzar Tavo B'Svino Eretz, Chayev B'Meiser. It's Chayev B'Meiser, U'B'Shviya. So the mitzvah Satzulis Baretz apply to this produce that's growing in this pot that's in the boat. Amar Yehuda. So the Tana Kama holds that what's in the pot, what's on the boat, is considered to be in the ground that's below, such that you're chayiv in the mitzvah of tulis baretz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Emasai, when is this true? Bizman shasvina goysheshes. Taisus here is very bothered with, how did the Gemara know, just because Rabbi Yehuda said emasai, that he's coming to disagree with the Tana Kama. If you're interested, you can see this long Taisus. How did they know that Amasai means he's disagreeing? Maybe he's defining. Maybe he's further clarifying the statement of the Tana Kama. Either way, the Gemara here assumes that he's disagreeing. So Amar Yehuda, Amasai, when is this true, or when would he agree to it? Bizman shasvina goysheshes, when the svina is stuck. I don't know if there's an official word for that, when a boat is... No, when it's grounded. Yeah, when it hits the ground that's below. Like if you have, there's certain deep sea water ports. That's why they build all the boats in Norfolk, I think, because Norfolk, Virginia is a deep port. Here you can't have, that's why only the cruise ships and the big army boats, navy boats, can only go to certain ports because they're very deep. Otherwise it hits the ground. So the only time Rabbi Yehuda holds is considered to be in the ground is when the boat is stuck in the ground. If the svina is not inside of the ground, potter, so then you're potter from the mitzvah of tulis baretz. So if Yehuda holds, it's only considered to be in the ground if it's literally in the ground. If it's just floating on top of the ground, that's not considered to be in the ground of Eretz Yisrael. You wouldn't be chayv in the mitzvah of tulis baretz. So the Gemara here is assuming that maybe we can plug in this machlekes hatanoim to this, between the Yehuda and the Rabbanon, to that machlekes we had in the Brises. One Brises said, if you bring a get on a boat that's on the body of water in Eretz Yisrael, it's like bringing Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanei netzel, b'fanei netzel. The other one is assuming it's like bringing in chutz l'aretz. So that depends. Machlekes Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbanan, produce that's growing in a boat or a body of water in Eretz Yisrael, as if it's planted in the ground. Chayav mitzvah tluyos b'aretz. So then it would be as if you're bringing the get in Eretz Yisrael. According to Yehuda, it's not as if you're bringing the get in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you're bringing it somewhere else. It's like planet Mars, it's somewhere else, because it's not in the ground, it's on a boat, but it's not considered to be in the ground, just like you're not chayav mitzvah tluyos b'aretz, unless it's goyshesh, unless it's stuck into the ground. Abai Omar, Abai says, no, Hava Hara Yehuda. Maybe, in fact, both Tanoim subscribe to the opinion of Yehuda, but Kasha, Kam Bizmanche, and it's Vinegosheshes. Maybe the two Tanoim, with regards to whether the get is considered to be being brought in Eretz Yisrael, being brought in Chutz La'aretz, or being brought in a boat, are all Rabbi Yehuda. And that might make sense according to those Rishonim who are going to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe it's all according to Rabbi Yehuda. One situation is talking about where the Sfina is Gosheshes, where it's in the ground. The other situation is talking about where the Sfina is not Gosheshes, where it's not in the ground. The Gemara continues the discussion. Amar Rab Zeira, Otzitz Nokuv. If you have a perforated pot, Hamuna Chagabi Yeseidus, that's sitting on a tripod, some sort of stand. Banu Machaytis Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. What are we talking about? We're talking about Mitzvah Tuyis Baritz in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know, I've never been to an office building where I've seen this in Eretz Yisrael, but you could imagine you have such a thing. I have a perforated pot over the ground in Eretz Yisrael, and the person in his office is growing tomatoes. Or he's growing cucumbers. I don't know, people here do this. They do weird things in the office to keep themselves interested. So it's in Eretz Yisrael, perforated pot with produce growing there. It's a chayv mitzvah tuyis baretz. Is it considered to be produce of Eretz Yisrael? So I'm Rab Zeira, atzitz nokov, hamuna chagabi, you say this? Banu machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. It's the same as produce growing on a boat. According to the Rabbanan, it will be as if it's growing in the ground. You'll be chayav mitzvah tluyos b'aretz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it will not be as if it's growing in the ground. You will not be chayav mitzvah tluyos b'aretz. So Amar Rava, Dilma lohi. Maybe this is not correct. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yehuda hasam. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree on the perforated pot in the stand. The only time he disagrees is on a boat. Meaning maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold, even though it's raised from the ground, right? I have this tripod that's holding the perforated pot, and it's sitting over the ground below, that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's considered to be connected to the ground, and you would be chayav mitzvah tluyos b'aretz. It's only by the boat that he disagrees, because a boat is asuya levroyach, the Gemara says. It's made to move. So it's not, you know, stuck here, so it's not considered to be permanent here, unless it's gosheshes in the arts, unless it's digging into the ground. Otherwise, it's disconnected from the ground. So maybe it's only by a Sfina Rabbi Yehuda has this position that has to be Goysheshes in the Aretz. Otherwise, if it's a pot that's just sitting in the same place, it's not meant to move anywhere, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that is considered to be attached to the ground, to be Chayav and Mitzvah Tuliz Baretz, to be Chayav and Truma and Maaser and Shviz. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's considered to be attached to the ground, even if it's not touching the ground itself, even if it's not gosheshes in the ground. It's different than a boat. Then the Gemara continues, Inami, ad kama kama Rabbanan. Maybe we could argue that even the Rabbanan would agree that in atzitz nakov, hamuna kagabi yaseidos, if you have a perforated pot that's sitting in a tripod, it would be a potter from the mitzvah satulias baretz. Because I come a coming to Rabbanan, the Rabbanan only said it's chayav mitzvah tuyis baretz on a boat. Hasim el besfina d'lo mitzak avira. There's no break between the boat and the ground if you assume that the water is some sort of continuation of the ground. D'lo mitzak avira. There's no break of avir, of air. El besfina d'lo mitzak avira dami ki ar samichta. So therefore, it's as if the boat is actually sitting on the ground. The water is an extension of the ground. Aval atzit the mitzak avira like. But a pot that has air in between a pot and the ground, maybe the Rabbanan would agree, it's not connected to the ground, it would not be chayav mitzvah tuliz baretz. Okay, so Rabbanan, just to sum up, we saw is a machlekes hatanoim. We know they're arguing about one case. What is the case they're arguing about? A boat that's traveling in a body of water in Eretz Yisrael. There's produce growing on a tray of dirt in the boat that's traveling in Eretz Yisrael. So one opinion was, the opinion of the Rabbanan, that that's considered to be growing in Eretz Yisrael. It's chayav mitzvah tuliz baretz, truma shviyas, maaser. According to Yehuda, it's not considered to be growing in Eretz Yisrael. Unless it's gosheshes, unless the boat is stuck in the ground. The Gemara then suggested then that might be the basis for whether or not, if you bring a get on a boat in Eretz Yisrael, you have to, it's considered as if you're bringing a chutzar, it's considered to be if you're bringing Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara suggested, towards the end, that this might also be connected to what is the story with produce that's growing in an atzitz nakuv hamunach agav yisaydas. If I have produce growing in a perforated pot that's sitting over a tripod in a stand over the ground in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rabbanan, it might be chayev. In mitzvah tuis bar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, might be pot. And the Gemara said, no, maybe even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be chayev because it's only a svina that's also the broch. It's not considered to be attached to the ground. But atzitz nakuv would be attached to the ground. Maybe according to the Rabbanan, just the opposite. Maybe here everyone would hold it. They would agree. It's not considered to be attached to the ground because there's mifsak avir as opposed to the boat that's sitting in the water where it's aris
anifta. Yeah. I don't understand how you can compare these two cases because one's speaking about a get which isn't attached to
the ground. Let's leave the get for the moment. The get is the least of our concerns because that's a din d'rabbanan. Whether I have to say b'fanei neftam, right, we've mentioned numerous times, is clearly a takana midrabanan. Either because we're afraid the get wasn't written with Shema, or because we're concerned that it needs kiyum hashtar, we have to verify the signatures. That's only a din midrabanan. So, but you're right. So the comparison could be more loosey goosey.
I don't understand why they bring these cases in.
Because we're trying to figure out whether it's Eretz Yisrael or not. So if I asked you, define Eretz Yisrael. Well, with regards to what? With regards to something. So the easiest way to define Eretz Yisrael versus Chutzaretz is Mitzvah Satulis Baretz, right? Is there Truman Meiser there? Well, then that's Eretz Yisrael. If there's no Truman Meiser there, then it's not Eretz Yisrael. So we're looking for an analog. We're looking for what to compare it to. So the most obvious one is Truman Meiser. So that's why the Gemara, trying to figure out whether bringing a get on a boat is like bringing Eretz Yisrael, bringing a Chutzaretz looks to Trumas and Meisers. It's a fair comparison. It's a fair comparison. But the Gemara here, in this, the course of this discussion, compared produce growing in a boat in Eretz Yisrael to produce growing in a perforated pot that's raised off the ground. We'll get to Tysus in a second, but the assumption here is the following, that produce, and I don't know whether this is scientifically accurate, maybe here someone has more knowledge of botany than I do, which wouldn't be saying much, but I don't have that much knowledge of botany, but the Gemara assumes that when you have something growing, even though it's not attached to the ground itself, it's drawing nutrients from the ground. That's why the Gemara assumed that it's possible even to consider stuff growing in a pot above the ground, as long as it's perforated, as if it's attached to the ground. Because there are nutrients that are, now, maybe there's nitrogen or oxygen or some sort of carbon that comes out of the ground and goes, I've tried to investigate it, it's really hard to figure out. But maybe the ground, the soil, lets off certain gases that help the produce grow. So maybe there is scientific backing to it. But either way, that was the assumption of Chazal, that if it's porous, at least, the pot and the what's growing in the pot can draw nutrients from the ground, even though it's not attached to the ground. The same could be true in the boat. And that's why maybe produce growing in a boat is as if it's growing in Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos is very, very busy, and I don't think the details are important necessarily. For us, but Tosfos is very busy in this long Tosfos of Rav Masechta Hatzitz. Well, which materials are considered to be porous enough that the nutrients can go through the pot and into the plant? But that was the assumption of the Gemara, without getting involved, in the different materials that Tosfos talks about and the proofs back and forth. The assumption was that it can be drawing nutrients from the ground, even though it's not attached to the ground. That was the Gemara's assumption. And the Shaila over here is, well, which scenario is considered to be attached to the ground? The perforated pot? Maybe yes, maybe no. In the boat? Maybe yes, maybe no. That was the whole machlekes
that time. Yeah. Isn't there like a huge difference between a perforated pot that's like right above the ground and a pot in the boat?
Agreed. That's exactly what the Gemara is trying to figure out. Is just because in a boat the Rabbanan held is attached to the ground, maybe nutrients pass through the water and make it to the pot pass in the boat. You're assuming it's a metal boat because you're a modern man. Tysus here talks about an earthenware boat. Now, I don't know.
It's not going to be perforated.
Earthenware is porous. Earthenware is porous.
If water could get through the clay.
If water could get through the clay, the boat would sink, right?
So then the perforation shouldn't matter.
It's perforated for the gases that are passing through, right? It's hard for us to understand, but that's clearly the assumption of the whole discussion. That's the premise of everything, is that there are nutrients passing somehow, some way, through the land into the pot. Now, maybe it goes through the water. Maybe it's some... I don't know what necessarily the... I'm not discussing whether Chazal knew the science of it, didn't know the science of it. It doesn't matter to me. It's not in the course of our discussion. But that was the assumption, okay? So the question is that more likely in the boat? Is that more likely in the Atzitz Nakuv? And when would that apply? Is the whole machlokes between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda? They're arguing about the boat. The Gemara is trying to apply it to the Atzitz Nakuv. Tosfos here sides with that version of the Gemara that even though Rabbi Yehuda held when it's on a boat, in order to be chayav in truma samayis, it has to be goyishesh in the ground. That's the only time it actually is drawing nutrients in the ground, because otherwise the water is separating, right? When it comes to the atzitz nakuv, Rabbi Yehuda would agree under all circumstances, whether it's touching the ground or not touching the ground, that it's chayav in the mitzvah of tuis bar, that there's truma and maaser and shvius on this produce that's growing in an atzitz nakuv in a perforated pot. Again, this is assuming there's nothing separating between. So this really wouldn't be applied to an office skyscraper in Tel Aviv that has a metal and concrete, and reinforced concrete. If you're growing tomatoes there, that's not going to be an atzitz nakuv hamunach al gavi yesedos, because there's metal, which is not porous. There's a lot of other things that, you know, plastic plates underneath your thing and all the different things that go involved in building. That's not going to be this case, but if assuming all you had in between were materials that satisfy the Gemara's standard of being porous enough, it would be chayiv in Shuvah, it would be chayiv in Shuvah. So Tosfos likes the latter version of the Gemara, that even though Rabbi Yehuda stipulated when you're on a boat, you're on a chayiv in Shuvah, Samayis, and Shuvah, when it's Goyishesh and the Aretz, when it comes to Atzitz Nakuv, the perforated pot, it's chayiv in Shuvah, Samayis, and Shuvah, even if it's not touching the ground. It's only the boat, because the boat is Asui Lebroach, as opposed to the perforated pot, which is not. So look at the bottom little Tosfos over here. Tosfos says, Dilma, Lohi, Ad Kan Lokama Rabbi Yehuda, Kein Hu Ha Emes, says Tosfos, this is the truth. The Atzitz Kimechubar, if it's in a perforated pot, that's like it's attached to the ground. It's not attached to the ground. It's sitting on a pedestal, but it's drawing nutrients from the ground. That's as if it's attached to the ground. Dibaperek HaShaleach, later on, the Gemara says in the context of Prusbo, we all know, I hope, what a Prusbo is at this point. We just did it. El Chodesh Elul, right? Shemitah, at the end of the Shemitah year, nullifies all loans unless you wrote a prusbo where you assigned your loan to Beis Din, and it's not a loan between two individuals, it's a loan now between an individual and Beis Din, and not subject to the laws of Shemitah Tzitzafin. That the end of the Shemitah year cancels all loans. It's fine. That was a takana of Hillel, takana of prusbo. But you can't have a prusbo, the Gemara says, unless you own karka. If you don't own real estate, there's no such thing as a prusbo. Why should that be the case? Another discussion for another time. This came up in Elul if you were paying attention to the little instruction manual at the beginning of the prusbo document that you probably hopefully signed. You would have seen that it says you have to own karka. I mean, an ain kosher prusbo ela al atzitz nakuv. But if you have an atzitz nakuv, let's say I don't own karka, but I own a perforated pot. Is that like owning real estate for the halacha of prusbo? Yes, the Gemara says. Even though you don't own real estate, you own a perforated pot that's munach agabi yisedos, that is considered to be like owning karka. Umukila de mancha asichi, you own a perforated pot which is sitting on top of a pedestal, even though you don't own the ground below, that's considered to be owning karka, and you are able to write a prusbo. So Tosfos says, you see from that Gemara later on, that if you have an atzitz nakuv, a perforated pot, that is munach agabi yisedos, that is sitting on top of a pedestal, over the ground, since it draws nutrients from the ground, that is considered to be attached to the ground, and you can write a prusbo. So too says Tosfos, it should be chayv and chumas amayis, according to Yehuda, and according to the Rabbanan equally, even though it's not touching the ground. V'hadikam rahacha, but what about the second lashon in our Gemara? V'hadikam rahacha, ad kam lo kami Rabbanan. Maybe even the Rabbanan, who said you are chayv and chumas amayis on the boat, would agree here that you're not. According to the last lashon of the Gemara, even the Rabbanan would agree that the Atzitz Nakuv is not chayv in Trumas and Maasos, even though you are chayv in a boat, because the Avir is mafsik. This is just pushing aside, you know, an argument for argument's sake, but it really is not to be accepted. Okay. But now Tosfos is bothered with the Gemara. This is Gemara is very important. All these Gemaras are very important. But Tosfos here now brings up another Gemara, which seems to contradict the findings of our Gemara. Let's see the Gemara. Have a look on the sheet. The Gemara says, Mesech l'Shabbos pe'e aleph on the days. A little graphic. Apologize. Gufa, Amar Eish Lakish. Sarar sha'alavo asavim. Anybody camper? Outdoorsman? No. Yeah? Really?
I think.
Where's the most extreme place you've got?
Catalina and
North Pole? Tzor Sha'alu Bo'asabim. When you're in the wilderness, today we're Baruch Hashem Zoich at the indoor plumbing. Have a Birchus HaShachar for indoor plumbing, right? Okay. Shasa Lin. So, those who camping don't have this luxury of indoor plumbing and toilet paper. We all appreciate that. Those of us who live through Corona appreciate the access to toilet paper or something like that. A hot item, right? So, Tzor Sha'alu Bo'asabim. The absence, though, what did they used to use? In antiquity, mikadmus dinah, they used whatever was available, leaves, rocks. Okay. Again, I apologize. So, for the crass discussion, but okay. Tzor Sha'alu Bo'asabim, muto kaneh bo. Let's say you have a rock. It's on Shabbos. Yeah. You may use the outhouse. So, if it has something growing on the rock, yuck. Rock, yeah, it's also yuck, but okay. Tzor Sha'alu Bo'asabim, muto kaneh bo. You can use it to clean himself. V'atoreish mimena, what about if you rip off that which is growing from the rock? The Shabbos chayv chatas. You're chayv if you detach what's growing in the rock from the rock. But if you're using it to clean yourself, then it's allowed. Amar papa, shma minami the rishlagash chayv parpisa shogu tatuis. First of all, you see from here, you can handle the rock. It's not considered to be muksa. Normally rocks are muksa, maybe because this was set aside for this purpose. Amar abai, parpisa, hova, so yeah, the name of a milsa. Once the whole idea of this little rock with the moss growing on it came up. Let's discuss, in another context. Let's say I had this rock which had something growing on it, the equivalent of a perforated pot that was sitting on the ground. I lifted it up and I put it on Gabi Yesedos. You're chayev for toilesh, which is one of the Lamentes of Melachos, another word for kaitzer, for cutting. Zoreya, planting, one of the first of the Lamentes Avos Melachos, planting. In the Sidur Depas, the order of making bread, you plant the wheat, then you knead it to make it, bake it, and make it into bread. So first is you have to plant the seed. You might have to plow, right? Cover over the seed. Zerei Chayresh, then Koitze, then you have to cut it off. Cut it from the ground. So, Koitze is one of the Lamentes Avos Melachos. So if I had it on the ground, I picked it up, and I put it on Gabi Yesedos, Chay Mishum Toilesh. Let's say it was on top of a pedestal. I put it on the ground. Mechai for planting. Noitea is usually when you plant trees. Zerei is when you plant seeds. But they're synonyms. There's a slight difference, right? In connotation, but it's more or less synonyms. So Mechai Mishum Noitea, Mechai Mishum Zerei, planting. So if it was on the pedestal, I put it on the ground, Zerei. If it was on the ground, I picked it up. Mechai Mishum Toilesh. What does it sound like from that Gemara, Rabbi Isai? If something is sitting on a pedestal and it's a perforated pot, is that attached to the ground or not attached to the ground?
No, attached.
Sounds like it's not attached. That's why you're Chayv Mishum Kaitzer. So Taisis here raises this problem. Taisis says, you're only Chayv Mishum Toilesh Midrabbanan. Look over here. Says Taisis, Hodam Inan, B'Shabbos. Taisis wants to say, if it's Munach Hagabi Yesedos, everyone would hold your chayv in Trumas and Maestras. Even Rabbi Yehudu held by the boat, it has to be in the ground in order to be chayv in Trumas and Maestras, in the produce that you're growing on that on the boat. That's because the boat is also the vroyach. But if it would be asadak munach agabi yisedos, chayv in Trumas and Maestras. So it's attached to the ground, even though it's munach agabi yisedos, it's on a pedestal. How come the Gemara says that if it was on the ground, then I picked it up and put it on a pedestal, your chayv mishum kaitzer, for toilesh, for detaching it from the ground. So Taisa says, you're right, you're not really chayv mishum toilesh, midoy raisa, only midrabbanan. V'hadar minu perek, v'shabes, perek ha-moitzian, hyperpisa, the mancha aruf was on the ground, v'ancha sichi, you put it on top of a pedestal, chayv mishum toilesh, chayv midrabbanan. The pir shashu mekutches, Rabbi says, look over there in Rashi, in Shabbos, in the brax, v'isa alef, chayv chatos, says Rashi, de'ein oinene shum me'reach ha-karka. Once it's on top of the pedestal, it's no longer benefiting from the reah, from the smell. To me, that seems like gases that are being emitted from the soil, and therefore, yechayev mishum toilesh. V'li nira, but says Rashi, it seems to me, dahai chayev lav davka. When we said chayev, it doesn't really mean chayev, ala asa mishum de dummy le toilesh. It seems a little bit like toilesh, but it's not really toilesh. It's not really toilesh. Why? Because it's still attached to the ground. Now, I do think, by the way, that you see from here that Teiresh and Kaitzer are not two sides of the same coin. I mean, I would have said, if you had asked me, as you know, without knowing much about Hilchos Shabbos, I would have said, what's the opposite of Zoreya? What's the opposite of planting? Uprooting. Right? Isn't that, I think it's a pasuk in Koheles. Ace lintoya ve'ace la kornatua. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot that which was planted. So I would have said Zoreya and Koitzer are two opposite sides of the same coin. Planting is Zoreya. Uprooting is Koitzer. And therefore, whatever is chayev for Zoreya, if you go in the opposite direction, you're chayev for Koitzer. Now, when it comes to Zoreya, planting on Shabbos, anything that aids the growing of the plant is chayev mishum Zoreya. So therefore, Yishalmi says, what's Zoreya? Let's say I fertilize the soil on Shabbos. I don't plant the seed, but I put down this pellets in the soil so the stuff grows better. You know, and you get those flowers and it comes with that little, I don't know what that white packet is for plants, food. Plant food? No, not much. The flowers are dead. But I guess it keeps them preserved for longer. So there's stuff you can feed the soil to help the plants grow better. Then you're chayv for zereya. You wouldn't be chayv for zereya if you put that white powder in the vase of cut plants because those are dead. There's no zereya that which is dead. But if you help it grow better, you're chayv for zereya. So if you water plants on Shabbos, chai for Zoreya. It's a tolda of Zoreya, it's a derivative of Zoreya. The real Zoreya is putting the seed in the ground, but adding the growing is all Zoreya. By the same token, if you move a potted plant, closer to the window, it gets more light, chai for Zoreya. Let's say I have a plant in the far reaches of the house. Whoever's in charge of the house takes the plant every morning and moves it to the window. Why do you move it to the window? So it should grow better. Yeah, that's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's Zoreya. It's the equivalent of planting. If I have a potted plant on the window, like you have those bay windows, you know what I'm talking about, and people put plants there, and you open and close the shades, but you're not doing that so the plant should grow better, then it's probably okay. But if I move the plant closer to the window, dafka, so that it should grow better, that's a problem. I think orchids are plants. I don't think orchids are like cut flowers. No, they die pretty quickly. I'm not sure what the story is with orchids. It's like some exotic plant. I don't know where they grow naturally. But that's a plant, so you have to treat it like a plant. You got to be careful not to... It's probably not muksa, per se, because they're meant to be moved around. Like a vase is not muksa. It's meant to be moved around from place to place. One can make the same argument with regards to potted plants. Some potted plants are meant to stay there later than void. So then it is muksa, because it wasn't meant to be moved. But even if you have a plant that you move during the week, should it move it closer to the window on Shabbos because in order that it should grow better or something like that? Because it's for Fitzureya. That's why it says this is not a well known halacha. It should be more well known. It says in the Ramah, Hilchos Shabbos. I'm not making it up, you can look it up. It says in the Ramah, in the name of the Sefer Truma, since watering the ground on Shabbos is chayev Fitzureya, you shouldn't eat over the ground, over the grass on Shabbos. Shouldn't eat over the grass on Shabbos. Liquids, obviously. Have pretzels. You shouldn't drink over the grass on Shabbos. Lest you come to spill, and you will end up watering the ground and making the plants grow better. Therefore, some have suggested you shouldn't have kiddush on the lawn. Some shuls even have, perek on the lawn. Perek or pirkei avos, or kiddush on the lawn. It's a nice thing. That's exactly what it says in the Ramah, in the name of the Sefer HaTrumah, not to do. Not to do that, because lest you come to spill. Now, you'll tell me single malt is not helping this grass grow any better. If anything, it's going to kill the grass. Okay, I hear the old times. But in the end of the day, it says in the Ramah, not to, in the name of the Sefer HaTrumah, not to have kiddush on the lawn. Are there tzadim l'kula? There are. What are the tzadim l'kula? Because if you look up that Sefer HaTrumah that the Ramah is quoting, he seems to assume it's an inevitability that something is going to spill on the ground. Why is it an inevitability? Very likely that something's going to spill on the ground. Are people so clumsy? It could be two things. It could be he's only talking about where they're having a meal with washing. Where they're washing the Tikkos Yadayim. If it's just a kiddush where no one's washing, maybe that's not what the Ramah is talking about. Because why would people be so clumsy? Everyone always, spills their soda or something. Okay. So maybe it's only if you're washing. The other thing is, Maybe it's only if you're not eating on a table. That's why the Sefer HaTrumah assumes it's an inevitability someone's going to spill. Meaning maybe at every meal someone does spill. Who's to say it's going to hit the ground? No, it's because they weren't eating at tables. But if you have tables where the food is sitting on tables, and no one's washing, just the Kiddush, so that's not the cooler to have it on the grass. The other ones were mahadah, though, not to have Kiddushes on the grass. Now, this is all aiding the plants and growing. Aiding the plants and growing. It's chayv for a zareah. What about when it comes to kaitzer? Now, if I have this plant that's sitting in the perforated pot on the ground, and I lift it up and I put it on Gabi Yesedos, even if it is still drawing nutrients from the ground, it's not going to be as good, as concentrated as if it was sitting on the ground itself. It's going to be weakened somewhat. See, Achrayim say, you see from this comment of Tais, this comment of Rashi, that even though they believe it is still attached to the ground, you're not... They hold it's still attached to the ground, but it will get weaker. It is further removed. Presumably, the growing that's going to take place is going to be more stunted than it was before, but it will still continue. So therefore, they believe in Achai Mishum Kaitzer. What you see from here is Kaitzer is not the opposite side of the coin of Zereya. Zereya means aiding in the growing process. Kaitzer is not anything that inhibits the growing process. Kaitzer has an entirely different definition. What is Kaitzer? Kaitzer is detaching something from the ground. That's kaitzer. And kol zman, it's attached to the ground. There's no kaitzer. Zerei, again, is aiding in the growing. Watering, sunlight. If I have a plant that's in the sunlight and I move it away from the sunlight, that's not kaitzer. Kaitzer is, at least midoraisa. Kaitzer is detaching something from the ground. And therefore, even though this was on the ground and growing very well, I picked it up, Amuna Chagabi, you say this, it's going to not grow as well, but it's still attached to the ground. They're not chayav mishum kaitzer. Important thing. You see from Rashi, the Dvar of Rav, that's all true about the Covenant Rav, makes this distinction between Zereya and Kaitzer. Fantastic. Excellent. That's Rashi and Tosis. Everything is good. The Rambam confuses everything, as usual. We'll go over here. Says the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ois Beis, Gavshusha shall offer, that's a clump of dirt, Sha'alu ba'asavim, that has stuff growing out of it, Higbiya me'al ha'aretz, it was on the ground, you picked it up and put it, al gabi yisaydos, on top of a, brace that's holding it. Chai mishum toilesh, chai for toilesh. So the Rambam took that Gemara and Shabbos pe'al from a base, literally. Taisa Rashi said, no, you only chai midrabanan. Yes, it's true, you're chai midrabanan. And by the way, Tosfos and Rashi prove their point. It can't be Chayav Midei Raisa. It would be Chayav Midei Raisa when you pick up the rock that has the moss growing out of it. I don't know what moss grows from. Does moss grow from the ground below? It does?
No, it grows on the rock.
It grows on the rock. So it can't just be moss. It means that there's grass growing on it that's growing nutrients from the ground. So you pick it up. It's not growing as well. The Gemara says, Chayav Mishum Toiresh. Rashi and Tosfos said, only Midei Rabbanan. They prove their point that it's only Midei Rabbanan. Rashi makes the point. Because the Gemara says you can use it to clean yourself. In the outhouse, if you're chayiv mishum toilesh, if it's toilesh deiraisa, we would not allow you to violate that for your person's hygiene. Hygiene, kavod abrios, entitles you to violate an iser midrabanan. Kavod abrios, hygiene, human dignity, does not entitle you to violate a deiraisa. This comes up all the time. People ask, around this shaila numerous times, not all the time. Numerous times. A person's toilet broke, Erev Shabbos. A plumber can come and fix it, but they can't come till Shabbos. Can they come on Shabbos? So if you have 1,000 bathrooms in your house, the answer is no. They can't come on Shabbos. Use the other bathroom. If they fix it, if you would fix it, the toilet, you'd be chayav for b'nei midoraisa to fix the toilet. Now, if it's just clogged, and you need a plunger, that's not broken. That's how you use toilets. Once in a while, the toilet gets clogged. And mamish means it's broken. There's something literally, you know, broken. Even snaking it, you have to call the Roto-Rooter, it's broken, right? Okay. Should know from such things. But let's say it broke. So plumber has to come and fix it. Boina midoy raisa. It's a guy, though. Ooh. Amir Lenachri. Only asa midoy rabban. So if you need the bathroom, it's a guest bathroom. It's going to be uncomfortable. You have some visiting Rosh Hashiva. The only other bathroom is in the master bathroom. So every time the visiting Rosh Hashiva needs to use the bathroom, they have to knock on the door. Yeah. It's not nice. So it's kavanah brius to have fixed the toilet. Or let's say there is no other bathroom. You can go to the neighbor's house, though. You can go to shul and use the bathroom, but it's not nice. 3 a.m, you knock on the door in your pajamas. It's not nice. So kavanah brius to fix the toilet. Ah, you can ask the nachri to do it. You can violate an isur midrabbanan for kavanah brius, not an isur midaraisa. So what entitles this person in the outhouse to clean himself with the rock that has grass growing on it? He's going to detach the grass from the rock. Violate an isur midaraisa, or pick up the rock off the ground. The violate an isur midaraisa of toilet. Should tell you something, it must be, it's only isur midrabbanan because of kavanah brius. The Rambam assumes no. When you pick up the rock, you're chayvish u'toilesh midaraisa. If you have a pot that's on the ground, a perforated pot, you pick it up and put it on gabi yisaitis on top of a pedestal, a brace of sorts. Chayvish u'toilesh midaraisa. What about the Gemara that said you can use the rock with the stuff growing out of it for kavod habrius while he's in personal hygiene in the outhouse? The Rambam omitted that Gemara. The Rambam didn't cite it at all. The Rambam doesn't hold of it. Because the Rambam holds we're really dealing with an isur midaraisa here. We're really dealing with an isur midaraisa. So, Rabbeisai, what does the Rambam seem to hold? When I have something that's on top of the ground, I pick it up, I put it on Gabi Yesedos. Is that still attached to the ground or not?
No.
It's not. How do I know? Because the Rambam said, you're chai for toilish. You're chai for kaitzer, which means not inhibiting growth, like Zerea. It means detaching it from the ground. That's the definition of kaitzer. The definition of Zerea is aiding growth. Definition of kaitzer is detaching from the ground. If the Rambam holds your chai for kaitzer when I pick up the perforated pot off the ground and put it on Agabi Yesedos, must be the Rambam holds while it's Agabi Yesedos, even though it's drawing nutrients from the ground, it is detached from the ground. It's not attached. Not attached. It's not attached. The problem is, I'm asking. The problem is, the Rambam seems to contradict himself as he is often want to do it. Says the Rambam over here. Oh, he seems to contradict himself. The problem is, Taisus was forced to say it's only the Rabbanan because of our Gemara. What did our Gemara say? That even though Rev Yehuda holds by the boat, it's only Chayav and Trumas and Maisris, in Eretz itself, it's Goyshesh in the Oretz, the Otetznokuv, the perforated pot, which is Agabi Yesedos, and drawing nutrients from the ground below in Eretz Israel, is Chayav and Trumas and Maisris. Even though it's not Goysheshes Baretz, because it is attached to the ground. If it's attached to the ground, how can the Gemara say in Shabbos, if you pick up the pot off the ground and put on Gabi Sedus, you're Chai for Toyosh, it's attached to the ground, you're Chai for Chumas and Maisis, Toyosh has to say, you're only Chai Midorabbanan for Toyosh. The problem is the Rambam holds you're Chai Midoraisa for Toyosh, and at the same time, the Rambam holds this perforated pot that's sitting in the pedestal is Chai of Chumas and Maisis. Says the Rambam over here, Perak Alfil Chumas and Chachav Hei. The Rambam here quotes Rabbi Yehuda. Only if it's Goysheshes, he passes Rabbi Yehuda. But yet, when it comes to the Otzitz Nakuv, the Rambam says the following thing. Now, the Rambam's not discussing exactly our case. The Rambam's discussing, let's say I have, let's say the table is Eretz Israel, yeah? The table is Eretz Israel. Off the table is Chutz Aretz. So I have a plant that's growing here. Growing here. The knife. Like Harno. The canopy. The leaves of the tree extend to Chutz Laretz.
The whole thing or just part of it?
Part of it. Maybe the whole thing. The apples that are growing in the part that's leaning over Chutz Laretz are drawing nutrients from where? Part from Eretz Yisrael, but part... assumption of the Gemara is that the nutrients travel through the air to the stuff that's on top of it, part from Chutz Laretz. Yeah? I have a tree here. Knife is over Chutz Laretz. Something like this. Knife is over Chutz Laretz. The nutrients are coming from Chutz Laretz. So the Rambam says, the produce that's growing here, potter in Trumas and Maisris. Because it's attached to the ground that's below. And it's drawing nutrients from the ground, which is not carbon Trumas and Maisris. Even though the Ikar is in Eretz Israel. Let's read the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Atat Nakov, Shahaya Bo Zera, Shalai Hishrish, Vayikar Bo Aretz. So it's not rooted in the ground here, so it's not drawing nutrients from Eretz Israel because there's no roots here. So it's like sitting in a pot. Yeah? The knife is over Chutz Laretz. It's drawing nutrients through the air from Chutz Laretz. Atat Nakov, Shahaya Bo Zera, Shalai Hishrish, Vayikar Bo Aretz, Vinoifoi, Chutz Laretz, Holchim Achar Anoit, and it's pasuk from Trumas HaMaizos. But what that means is, it's attached to the ground below, even though it's suspended in midair. It's as if it's growing in Chutz Laaretz. What's the problem? The problem with that is, the Rambam says, if it was on the ground and I picked it up and put it on top of a pedestal or on top of this little brace, you're chai for toilesh. Your chai for toilesh means it's no longer attached to the ground. Yet at the same time, the Rambam said, the knife, which is over chutz laretz, is part of the tumisamaisis because it's drawing nutrients from chutz laretz. So it's attached to the ground. Is it attached to the ground? Is it not attached to the ground? What's going on over here? That's exactly what forced Tysus to say, that you're not chayav for toilesh when you pick it up from the ground and put it on Gabi Seder. It's only asur midrabbanan, because the atzitz nakuv that's over the ground is attached to the ground below vis-a-vis Trumas HaMaaser. So you see, it is attached to the ground. When I pick it up, put it on Gabi Seder, this must be. It's not toilesh midaraisa. The problem is that Rambam says it is toilesh midaraisa. And at the same time, the Rambam holds that the stuff that's growing over the ground is determined by the ground that's below vis-a-vis Trumas HaMaaser. So over Eretz Yisrael, yes, chayav. Over Chutz Laaretz, not chayav. So Moshe Soloveitchik here has a famous shtickle, or the famous, well-known shtickle Torah that comes in different pieces, but if you put the whole thing together, you might see a masterpiece. When we had the 100th year of yeshiva, 100th year of yeshiva, which was 1996, I think. So each one of the Rosh Yeshiva said something over from the historic Rosh Yeshiva. They had like a few nights in a row. So Shechter spoke about Moshe Soloveitchik, and he put together this whole shtickle Torah, mamish beautiful, the whole thing. But part of it, we'll get to the rest in the future, tomorrow maybe. But at least the first part of it is Moshe Soloveitchik made the point, and this part is printed in Kovitz Kedushei Torah, which is a collection of Divrei Torah from Moshe Soloveitchik from Soloveitchik. It's a separate sefer; it's downstairs from their writings. I think it's also in Kedushei Agram Alevi, the Rambam. This part of the Shtickle Torah from Moshe. That there's a difference between attached to the ground in Hilchos Shabbos and attached to the ground in Trumas and Maaseres. Attached to the ground in Hilchos Shabbos means it's literally attached to the ground, according to the Rambam. And therefore, when I have this Atzitz Nakuv, which is sitting on the ground, I pick it up and put it on Gabi Yesedos, it is no longer physically attached to the ground. Chai for Kaitzer. Chai for Toiresh, Midoy Raisa. Trumas and Maaseres doesn't depend on physically being attached to the ground. Trumas and Maaseres depends on drawing nutrients from the ground. It's a different definition. Mechuba l'karka in Hilchos Shabbos doesn't mean the same thing as Mechuba l'karka in Hilchos Trumas and Maaseres. Sefer Moshe Soloveitchik said like this. Look over here, always down. Dinei bedina, it's not going to matzino trei dinim. There's really two. We're going to see there's many more. But two dinim. That which is inside of the perforated pot is drawing nutrients in the ground. The henki duwe karka va'oid alocha. Never batzis nakuv. Usha zraim shemesoich havi mechumar lekarka. It's attached to the ground. Not drawing nutrients from the ground, but attached to the ground. But emes trei dinim hem du. Within mitzvah tuiz baretz. And utzichum adim mechubar. For mitzvah tuiz baretz, you don't need mechubar attached to the ground. Physically, we need to draw nutrients from the ground. Therefore, the Rambam holds, if the knife is over Chutz Laaretz, it's drawing nutrients from Chutz Laaretz, put in Trumas HaMaaseres. If the knife would be over Eretz Yisrael, drawing nutrients from Eretz Yisrael, it's in Trumas HaMaaseres. What's considered to be mechubar, what's considered to be tolush, has nothing to do with nutrients. Yet the Rambam holds, if it was on the ground and you picked it up, it's kaitzer midoraisa, because it's not physically attached to the ground. So Rabbi say here, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik is saying there's two different definitions of what's called mechuba l'karka. One, in the Trumas HaMaaseres, depends on drawing nutrients from the ground. One, vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos, that depends on physically attached to the ground. So therefore, Tosfos made this whole contradiction between the Gemara and Shabbos and our Gemara. The Rambam feels not a contradiction at all. They're discussing two separate halachas. One is nutrients from the ground. That's Trumas HaMaaseres. The Gemara and Shabbos is talking about physically attached to the ground. That's Tosh and Mechuba and Hilchos Shabbos. There's no contradiction at all. I'm not forced to say it's Torah Shmidarabbanim when you pick it up. It could be Torah Shmidarabbanim. So the truth of the matter is, and this Rav Shachter was very busy doing, when he gave the shiur, was Ilu Nishmas or Mishnah Salvechik, that in fact we're going to see there's many more than two categories of what's considered to be karka, what's considered to be not attached to the ground. We saw two definitions, one in Trumas and Maisers, one in Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to see that almost every area of halacha has its own definition of what's considered to be karka and what's not considered to be karka. What's attached to the ground, what's not attached to the ground, is going to depend, is not a universal klal in Kol Torah Kula. Every area of halacha seems to have its own subtle, differently, you know, it's a different definition. Even though it's in the subtleties of the issue, we have to see perhaps how this plays out in other areas of halacha. Taisus and other Rishonim seem to be comparing the two, and they are very busy with resolving contradictions between them. But it could be, this distinction of the realm is not only between these two areas of halacha, maybe carries over to some of them, to that point. Okay, Shkanachem.